All right, good morning. Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. So Christmas Eve, which certainly provides us with a theme for the day, which I will try to exploit without disturbing anyone. Although I can't promise not to disturb anyone. That's part of the job of a Dharma teacher, is just disturb people in a helpful way. I don't know how many of you know of William Alexander, the author, known to me as Bill, wrote a book called Cool Water, which was later retitled Ordinary Recovery. Anyway, a dear friend I've taught with, he used to work at Hazelden, and we taught at Hazelden a few times. Had a lovely chat with him yesterday, and he let me know about an amazing Muddy Waters album from that was recorded by Alan Lomax in 1942 in Stow in the Stovall Plantation in Mississippi. And just, music trivia, forgive me, but Alan Lomax says, "Where did you learn to play the slide?" He's playing the slide, right? "Where'd you learn that?" "Oh, I learned that from Sunhouse." And Alan Lomax says, "Who's Sunhouse?" Now, if you know anything about blues, like Sunhouse is like the originator of country blues and sort of like, one of the godfathers. And Alan Lomax, who was this famous, what do you, folk lore, someone who went through the South and discovered a lot of these aging,
Musicologist.
what's it, musicologist?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Mickey. Yeah, didn't have the terminology. And his son, what was his son's name? Anyway, his son went on to carry on his father's work, but they would go and they did these field recordings. And so he was probably the most, and they all went into the Library of Congress, and they sort of started the folk revival in the 50s and 60s. But for Alan Lomax not to know who Sunhouse is, we realize that's how early it is in this process of like uncovering this hidden, one of the most precious gems of American culture, which is the blues out of the Mississippi Delta. So, anyway, I could talk about that all morning, but I wanted one other thing before we meditate, just to let you know that, I set up a podcast just to put these talks up and make it easier for people to access them. But I realized it would be helpful to have something that was straight ahead Dharma talks, and so I put I think it's eight talks that go through the 12 steps from a class I taught some years ago, but it's timeless. And so it doesn't it's from Spirit Rock in 2011, but so that's all on my podcast if you want to hear me go through the 12 steps from the Buddhist viewpoint. So just FYI. And so let's sit and then see how we can reflect in wholesome ways to support us in this day or on this day. All right. So again, welcome everyone. Hope people are doing well. Showing up here is, or showing up anywhere that's, a healthy place is best thing we can do for ourselves right now, no doubt. So just settling into a meditation posture that's comfortable, but also encourages you and supports you in being awake and alert, clear-headed, if you will. You can close your eyes or just lower your gaze. And just feeling the body, feeling the breath. Just checking in with yourself. particularly in busy times, we can find ourselves caught up in so much activity that we lose contact with our heart, with our feelings. Just being still and quiet. This alone is a support for our calming, settling. And letting the breath become a more focal point of your attention can start by just being aware of the movement of breath, the way the body moves rhythmically to the in and out breath. And then feeling the sensations of breathing can be more specific. We can point our attention to the touch of air at the nostrils, or the movement of chest and belly. Almost as though we are touching the breath with our mind. We don't have to control the breath or breathe in any special way. This is an awareness training, not a breathing training. What are you aware of when you try to pay attention to the breath? When we stop in the middle of our day to meditate, it's like all the underlying energies, intentions, thoughts are revealed. And then the question is how to respond to all that. Perhaps things are already relatively calm for you. You can just sit and allow the breath to move and sit with the present moment. But if there's a lot of thinking, there's some stress or agitation, then we want to have a sense of openness and gentleness with that, those energies and thoughts, feelings. Not trying to suppress, not indulging, but almost stepping back and allowing, observing, feeling, just letting them appear and disappear, letting those energies move through. This is a subtle kind of shift in point of view that we work to develop in our practice and cultivate. There's a natural tendency to get swept up in our thoughts and to react to our feelings. It takes a subtle shift in attention to not fall into those traps. First aspect of that is an attitude of observing interest, just wanting to see things clearly without fixing or controlling. So this takes a certain courage, the courage of letting go of control. A second aspect of this practice is to bring a sense of kindness, of gentleness to the observing. It's not forceful, it's not judgmental, it's accepting, kind. It's a compassionate response to the human condition. Right. That's helpful for me. Naturally enough, I thought to talk a little bit about this time of year and, Christmas, such an interesting thing to reflect on. And certainly, I think for people in recovery and people not in recovery, for addicts, active addicts, this is a really disruptive time. And so just to talk a little bit about that before I maybe go back into sort of the what I think is behind all that. But for well, it's hard to talk about that. Maybe I do want to talk about what's behind all that, but I sort of like it just sort of automatically for me kind of kicks into sort of history and how we get here. So whether you're, were brought up with believing in Christmas or Santa or Jesus or anything, it's so immersed in our culture and that you can't escape it. I mean, you can, even if you don't go to the store or you don't turn on the TV, if you step outside, your neighbors probably have like flashing lights, and say, blow up Santas on the lawn. But, for me, there's just this interesting thing that happens between, and I don't know how many people go through this, but I think it's there's some connection here between the childhood sort of wonder and magic, and then the addictive behavior that happens around this the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, and of course, our society, one of the things that it promotes this time of year is drinking and eating too much, and that's just built in. And so, for those of us susceptible to those behaviors or a drug taking, it's very triggering, and a lot of people relapse this time of year, and it's why people are really encouraged to go to a lot of meetings, and and we try to really support each other, and find an alternative, which is also kind of beautiful, that I mean, certainly early in recovery, remember my first 2 or 3 years, particularly sober, just going to a ton of meetings at this time of year and having this sense of community and fellowship that I never found in the non-sober world. I never found that in the bars. I mean, it was nothing like that, right? And so, being part of a subculture, which we are, and an alternative culture, has its rewards, right? Because it's really supportive and about love and caring for each other and about clarity, so just to like one of the things that I've reflected on over the years is how for children, if you are raised in a family that like celebrates Christmas, however, but particularly around the material part of it, the presents part of it, there's this, fantasy that's never satisfied. So it's a classic kind of Buddhist thing. It's like you as a kid, you're just like, you're going kind of crazy, right? Leading up to like wanting stuff and expecting stuff, and then getting up on Christmas morning, the parents are like, "No, you can't get up until such and such a time," and like ripping things open and like being really excited and elated, but then like you didn't get the pony, kind of thing. And that there's somehow, maybe it's cynical of me, but that there's always a disappointment. So it's just to me a classic case of like of dukkha. It's like, this wanting that's never satisfied. And he kind of year after year doing that, having that cycle. But I'll also say, I was my hometown is Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So there was, a certain extra juice around Christmas, right? And, supposedly founded on Christmas Eve in 1742. So there's also this beautiful mystical aspect to it. And for me, and I'm sure for many people, it was embodied not so much in the church, although I got a certain kick out of the nativity scene and everything, but in the music, and this Christmas carols, but not the cheesy ones, but the really heartfelt ones, mystical ones, and inspiring ones, and really touching heart. A little town of Bethlehem. I mean, it really would get to me. Probably still does a little bit. And so there's, as there so often is, particularly in these sort of big cultural events, there's these layers, right? And there's the way it's corrupted and turned into this commercial, and now it's like kind of ridiculous, like the number of stupid movies, that get advertised. But then there's this something beautiful there, and I know for different people find different aspects of it. Sometimes it's the giving part of it, or going to the food bank, or being of service. And as I say, like going to a lot of meetings and helping newcomers, and so there is that spiritual side of it that, I mean, obviously it's a cliche, like, oh, we've lost the real Christmas spirit, but just to recognize that there are these layers, but to me, what happened in terms of addiction was that really when the material payoff of presents and toys like wore off in early teenage years, the substitute was getting loaded and partying, right? And that became like this new way of like indulging. And so it seems like it, to me, that's like this perfect sort of connection between the fantasy of a child, the illusion that there's going to be some payoff and the thing, and then it turns into the illusion of the payoff will be this intoxication or some thrill, some party, or some of and all of it just is so risky. And so, as a sober person, there's just sort of, to me, no avoiding the ups and downs. And there's, the ghost of Christmas past kind of almost invariably shows up. And that's something that's very much in our family. That there's a death associated with Christmas that haunts the holiday. And I know that's true for many, many people. Like when there's a loss around this time of year, which seems to be true for many families, that haunts things. And so it all like there's it's this stew, right? And it for me, it all comes down to like, I just got to get through this, I just can't wait till January when I can get back to normal, And I have a busy teaching schedule in January, and I'm really look, but it's like, okay, can I get through this week? Okay, there's football, whatever. All right, we'll go out to dinner, visit our friends, fine. So I'm not a Grinch. or a Scrooge, but I have certain Grinch and Scrooge-like elements to my, which are really associated with, as I say, like these challenging states, because it's such a complicated thing. My dear friend Wes Nisker, whom some of you know, passed away about 18 months ago, and would, famously do great like raps around sort of the solstice and the different holidays, and he had great stuff around Christmas. And if you look him up, Wes Nisker, Nisker, he's got a website. I think his website is that his daughter is maintaining is wesnisker.com. And he just has a way of breaking this all down with like the pagans and how they would, and we bring the tree inside to, and we, because the sun is going away, we light up a lot of candles and lights to feel that, that the sun isn't leaving us, right? This disappearing forever. And I like that attitude too, sort of realizing that all this madness and not madness and spiritual connection has roots in this, simply the cycles of the sun and the planet. And it's really obviously the holidays that arose at this time of year all came out of that, right? And so that's another thing to maybe connect to, right? And as my mother's birthday was December 21st, so oddly enough, and so the solstice had some other meaning, but my daughter who's home said the other day, wasn't it your mother's birthday on the 21st? Yeah, she says, and that's the solstice. So that means the days are going to get longer, right? Which, of course, is the other thing that we all hang on to, right? Okay, it's going to get better, and wasn't and Saturnalia. Now, this is one that Wes would talk about, like the originally, and some of you probably know more about this, I'm sure, than I do, but. What I understand is that, like the lunar calendar that the Romans used, it didn't quite like use up all the days, which is why we have our weird calendar with the different sh like months. And so there were these extra days at the end of the year. And so that was the like, okay, everybody can just do anything because they're not official days. They're just, and that was the party, right? So, it's always, there's always an excuse to party here. But this is our, Buddhist recovery party here, to just reflect and to connect with each other and with ourselves and breathe. And yeah, I mean, for me, it's a lot of it is just, I'll get through this. I'll be okay. Not even trying to, and yeah, of course, trying to enjoy it, So there you are, my inspiring Christmas talk for 2024. Boy, wasn't even 15 minutes. But that's really what I have for now. So I'm sure you guys have some thoughts and reflections and I'd love to hear how people are doing it. And I really do, wish for you all to be safe and that your addiction not grab hold of you, this week at least. So, thank you. Anyone who would like to chime in, love to hear from you. Abigail. Oh, Abigail, that reminds me. Bill Alexander is in Eugene, so but he says he just goes to virtual meetings. He's having some cognitive decline, but if you see him on a meeting, try to say hi.
I'll keep my eye out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you everybody for being here on this totally insane morning. We have a child who is suffering more than any child should ever have to suffer. And you're describing exactly what he's going through. At the top of his list was an iPad, which he got yesterday morning and spent yesterday afternoon screaming at the top of his voice. I never wanted it. I hate it. It's not what I wanted. I want to break it.
Wow.
It's that
Ouch.
the disease. He's got a lot of special needs.
Yeah.
So we see it in spades, and it's rough. It's rough here. And trying to navigate all of that with all of my own baggage. And I have a story about my family at Christmas. My mother and father were having their usual Christmas Eve argument about which goes on first, the tinsel or the lights. They had had a good deal to drink by that time.
Yes.
And the argument was nasty, nasty. And I was sitting in this beautiful house in upstate New York. Snow, lovely, absolutely lovely, and this horrendous stuff going on inside.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I don't have to take this. I can get drunk too. And I did. And that was my first conscious, I was about 17. It was my first conscious, I'm going to drink and it's all going to go away. So for me, this we've got a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And it's really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to be here for a moment with you all. And I did not want that ed meditation to end. I wanted it to go on forever. Couldn't I be at a retreat right now? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, everything, has the potential for dukkha. I've had a lot of dukkha on retreats, so it's not a fix. But yes, no. I'm sorry that it's like that. And I'm really glad you're with us.
Me
Yeah.
too. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, take refuge. Refuge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that ghost of Christmas past, I mean, it can't help but come up, right? It's like, oh, fuck.
And I'm still trying to make Christmas okay.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get it right this time. Yeah. Well, I decided yesterday I had to take my daughter to Hawaii to make her happy. So, so we quickly booked a flight to Maui. Off we're going next week. She was so upset when I told her I wasn't going to take her to a Warriors game. I had to say, okay, let's go to Hawaii then. Fine. Buy her off. Ah, Steve, I saw you see your virtual hand there. Stay.
My virtual hand. Boy,
Yes.
thank you for those reflections about Christmas. Oh, Lordy. I think this is the first Christmas where I'm just going to be with my wife, just the two of us, I'll tell you what, man. I've got the ghost from Christmas past. My food addiction really would explode at Christmas time. I mean, the absolute insanity when my mom required everybody. In the you got the 26 people, and I was always the one that was delegated to go in the kitchen. You're gonna cut the prime rib, you're gonna carve the turkey, you're gonna do this, you're gonna it's like, oh my Lord, have mercy. And I remember the one time where I refused to do it, and it would like sent shockwaves through the family. I said, I'm not going in that damn kitchen this year. I was on one of my weight loss journeys, but I am so filled with gratitude to have my practice. It's just absolutely my salvation. I sat for an hour and 20 minutes this morning thinking about how tomorrow I can eat an abstinent meal and I can just be with my wife and just enjoy. So yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. And that's those times I used to show up at Christmas loaded on something. No one, I'd sit in the corner just bombed or just out of my mind. And yeah, I don't have to do that anymore, you know? So it's a time to reflect, but the good and the bad, you're right. The dukkha involved in all this. And for me, it's thinking about all the suffering going on around the world, thanks to the greed and stuff and the people suffering that, it's this big holiday. It's Christmas, you know, where's the Christmas tree? Where are the presents? And you have all these millions of people around the world living in war-torn countries. And so for me, I just reflect on that and say prayers every morning for those poor people and just be grateful for what I have. So thank you for sharing that, you know, and yeah, retreats are where it's at. I wouldn't mind being on one right now. I'm looking forward to February, March for our retreat. I really am. So I hope you have a Merry Christmas and
Thank you.
we'll be here next year cheering you on.
Yeah, I know we're gonna meet on Christmas or New Year's Eve next. So this, and yeah, and so I did not, I guess I referred to the fact that this Sunday I'll be out at Spirit Rock, and it'll be a hybrid day long, which is on the theme that I've returned to for many years that keep coming back, day long retreat. So that's the 29th if you are free one way or another. Monica.
Hi there, and I always take notes to put in our so that you can remember. But
Oh, yeah.
what
Thank
I've come
you.
up with is the unsatisfactory reaction to craving, and how we get stuck in these cycles of dukkha. But it is really hard when people there's ex little children are ex in the Western world expect presence, you know, and my family, you know, and when there's children who are, they would, I remember we, my mother was alive. We used to, you know, those trees that are around town, they have the gifts and people and kids that would ask for a blanket. Used to just break my heart. That's all they want is a blanket. And, just kills me, you know, and we tried to be you know, we tried to spread out some donations and stuff. A food bank, I'm always giving money to the food bank, but I like of other people, you know, I when I was a small child myself, my father in his mental illness and his chain smoking, I was in bed every Christmas with asthma. And but I think it was also a kind of way, it was the only way I could escape, you know. And it's interesting how that all works. And then you end up, you know, start, you find substance. So there's the other escape. And I've tried the geographic removals, and that doesn't work. And I'm part Danish, and I know that there's a thing in Denmark where people just sit and drink tea, because this time is dark and there's confusing feelings. And can I sit with mindfulness? You know, that I guess that's what's coming up for me. Can I sit with mindfulness? I don't have to live with the ghosts of Christmas past without, I mean, I can send it compassion. I can, but that's what's just coming up for me. But I just, sitting with compassion. Can I embrace the Buddhist way, you know, for this? Because it's just full of craving, full of, you know, very materialistic. And in fact, I've been We've just been sitting around trying to be quiet and stuff, so which is nice. But I have to go to a family party tonight, which is not always the nicest, but I have to get what can I do?
Thanks, Monica.
The end.
Mickey, can you, I want to unmute. Are you unmuted?
So I'm lucky.
Okay. There
Firstly, happy
you
holidays, everyone. It is crazy out there.
go.
I did not have a historical Christmas. We did not celebrate Christmas. And Hanukkah was an extremely insignificant holiday. I got like candy lipsticks and chocolate coins and little puzzles that you move around to try to make a word. It's all been blown up in Western culture. It's really not a big holiday, but I got to enjoy all the aspects of Christmas without the avarice. I got to see all the pretty lights, and friends had trees. I would lie under them and look through them and see all the and eat the ribbon candy. I mean, it was kind of great to not have, and I didn't have to have Christmas dinner. And
You got Chinese food
yes, we
and
had Chinese food. Exactly. That I just saw a cartoon. I'll send it to you about Chinese food. It's a poster on the door of somebody's shop saying, "I don't know what you believe in, but thank you for supporting us on Christmas Day." But it was, and my birthday is between Christmas and New Year, and actually my husband's is as well, but that was not part of my childhood. But I didn't have to go to school. I mean, this was a great time of year for me. I didn't have to go to school. I never had to go to school on my birthday. When I was little, that was really important. So I have very fond memories of Christmas because it was always like, "Hey, come over to eat," or my family wasn't there because So I feel really lucky that I see other people on the street. I love to give Christmas gifts, but I don't like to spend a lot of money. So I like to see something and say, "Oh, that's a really." They really like that. I give a lot of food presents and I make donations, and that's the Christmas present to myself. But I feel really fortunate because I do not have this, "Oh God, it's Christmas. What am I?" I've seen people just get so bent out of shape
No
by
kidding.
not having the right present or not making the right ham. And I got away with it. I don't, and we used to go to really good Christmas New Year's Eve parties that I'd seen you at, and what a way to celebrate is with people you love. It's so
No doubt.
I have a benign Christmas experience and a happy New Year experience, crappy birthday experience.
Well, thank you
Anyway,
for that positive vision, Mickey.
yeah, you know me, but
That's
but
good.
yeah, it was great. I mean.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Good to see you. You got me, you lifted me up a little bit there.
Right.
That's your job.
Yes, exactly. That's my job.
Well, all our jobs. I didn't put the burden on you personally.
Honey.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Yeah, thanks.
Honey.
Tanya, how's things down in
It's
Atlanta?
Cold. I think we went down to 29 or something this
Oh my
morning.
goodness.
Yeah, and then it gets up to 60 and it's beautiful. So it's I love it. I love winter. And I like Christmas. Even the really rough
What can
ones
I
where my
say?
alcoholic parents were kind of crazy. There was just always something a little bit magical about it to me.
Oh
And
yeah, no doubt.
and so when I got sober, I decided to really make it my own, and just really focus on things that made me and my husband and later my daughter happy. So it's been really good for me. But I used to be cynical that people became so generous and giving just around the holidays, and I would say, "Hey, why aren't you like that all year?" But I realize now that no, it's okay. It's good that Christmas, the holidays bring out that spirit of compassion and that spirit of generosity. So I'm going to share this little thing that I do.
I do it year round, but I tend to increase it a little bit around Christmas. And it's just a little thing to kind of give back to people that might be in need. What I do is when I'm going to the grocery store, I kind of look around and see, like if there's anyone that has like a bunch of kids or something like that. But honestly, I usually just do this randomly. I'll drop a $20 bill in the parking lot, and then I'll say to someone, "Excuse me, I think you dropped this." And usually, it's interesting because sometimes at first they'll say, "I don't think that's mine," and then I have to kind of convince them, "Well, it's not mine; it's just lying there," And I don't know why, it just gives me this little happiness because for a lot of people, an extra $20 for the grocery is a big deal, I mean, it has been for me at times. So anyway, that's just my little one of my little things that I do. I wanted to share with y'all.
Oh, that's very sweet. I love that. Like very sneaky. And despite all my I mean I try to just one of the reasons I talk about the negative side is just to try to be helpful to people who might be struggling. But I have to also say that when I became a parent at the age of 48, Christmas started to turn into something really fun again, right? So, and fortunately didn't involve alcohol and drugs. And so it is something that's pretty joyful around my house. So just in case you're wondering if I'm actually miserable. Yeah. So, anyone else want to chime in this morning? Oh, very nice. Okay, quick, Forrest. I didn't mean you don't have to be quick. I just saw that like two people suddenly showed up. So, Forrest, go ahead. And then we'll have Kyle.
Yeah, Kevin, I really appreciate it. It's something I hadn't contemplated that, with our cultures, the overconsumption of around holidays that's we inherit from our culture, and the expectation as a child growing up that you get around the Christmas. And then from my own story, it definitely transitioned from that material into just overconsumption of alcohol and drugs as an adolescent. And really kind of escaping. And I remember just kind of couldn't wait during the Christmas dinner to get out of family obligations to go out and just get stoned with my friends. And
Exactly.
I got sober relatively young in my early 20s, and it wasn't long before I actually came to awareness that I suffered seasonal anxiety disorder. So the year those kind of been challenging for me. I know that has changed because as we kind of mentioned the darkness, I'm at a point now where I contribute my mindfulness and Buddhist practice is there's a little bit of thing, oh, the days are getting longer. I'm not going to have as much time to meditate and go inward. I embrace this time
Nice.
now. And I like your mention of kind of return a little bit to my pagan roots. My understanding too is, it's kind of the birth of the sun, and when they
Yeah.
Christianize a lot of Northern Europe, their holidays already exist. Oh, you want to celebrate the birth of the sun? We can do that, and that's helpful me. I do follow a Celtic calendar, which is right now we're in the womb, and this is the beginning, the end as we go into the Celtic New Year, which is Halloween. But anyhow, the other thing I just want to mention that my kind of goal this year is learning around gifting, both how to, be able to give without any expectation, anything back, and also when I receive a gift, to be able to just receive it and expect, just express gratitude and feel gratitude. And so both giving and receiving, learning that. But thank you. Much gratitude for this discourse, and I'm glad we were able to have it today.
Yeah, thanks, Forrest. And giving and receiving a great reflection. Certainly, very much something that Buddhism and the Buddha are very interested in how we work with that. It's a good topic, a good reflection, and it comes up. Okay, Kyle, hello.
Hi, thank you, Kevin, for leading this meeting, and thank you all for being here and making this possible. I wanted to share a quote that I came by recently, and I think it's just very fitting for the holiday season in and of itself. And it says, "While we cannot alter what has already happened in the past, we can actively make choices and take steps today to create a more positive future for ourselves and others." As been mentioned multiple times, the ghost of Christmas past. I have this weird relationship with Christmas where my younger memories are more fonder, and then as I got older, some events and losses that took place. Unfortunately, like a cousin of mine got killed by drunk drivers, so my aunt and uncle couldn't bear holding Christmas anymore. So every Christmas Eve, we would get together at their house, and they just went all out for everyone invited. Everyone got gifts. It was just this. I never remembered it not being a positive and fun time. Everyone just, and it wasn't, and I didn't remember that part of Christmas being too negatively affected by drugs and alcohol, thankfully. I mean, people did drink, but it was never to the point of where, it caused anybody to not be able to thoroughly enjoy themselves, which was, a beautiful thing. And I'm just grateful that I have these memories and coming to the future. Christmas is very small with just my wife and mother-in-law, but we have this little tradition that we started. We watch like Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation every year, and we try to do
All right.
these kind of like pay homage to the old Christmas movies and stuff. And so I'm grateful that they've taken the time to make welcome me into their life, and then also make it a beautiful time. And I just wanted to touch upon one thing. I was listening to this podcast yesterday, and they were talking about rapid problem solving versus the sensory network. And when I thought about the sensory network, I thought directly back to like my personal relationship with like Theravada Buddhism, and just coming back to the breath and being able to ground myself in the moment and really not just let my body kind of get hijacked by what's coming up in life. And so it's just interesting. I just want to express a lot of gratitude for Buddhism and what the positive influence it's had in my life, and how I can, take that with me wherever I go. And I wish everyone a wonderful holiday, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Kyle. Well, I really appreciate people sharing and just like being together and just the different spaces everybody is in. And what I value, I think most, and certainly this is how I felt when I first got sober, was hearing what people really go through, hearing the truth of people's experience, because so much of the life and so many interactions are so superficial. And as someone who struggled from years with depression as well as, addiction, the feeling of being different was, just added on to the other struggles. And being in a community where people aren't afraid to expose their challenging as well as their uplifting feelings and thoughts and experiences, just makes me feel less different, makes me feel more part of the human race. And so I appreciate people opening up and just being honest about their themselves. There isn't some right way for us to be. I do hope that everybody just has like a joyful fun, just stuff that makes them happy, whether that's taking a walk in the woods or, whatever it is. So I will see you next Tuesday on New Year's Eve.
Enjoy Hawaii.
Yes, we're off the day after on New Year's Day. We're
Oh,
gonna
nice.
fly out and yeah.
You get any free seats, any extra seats on the plane?
Oh no. Well, it is a private jet, so we could always
Oh,
fit. Yeah, of
well, there's
course.
always extra room on a
You
private.
know, I always fly private. I mean, you know, just with all the Donna that everybody's been giving me, you know, just really not a problem.
That's great.
We are all Buddha.
Yes.
Namaste.
Yeah. All right, you guys, be
Have a Merry
well.
Christmas,
Happy
Kevin.
holidays,
All right, you
everyone.
too.
Many
Thanks.
blessings,
Stay
everyone.
Know your
Thanks,
loves.
everyone. Thank
Thanks.
you. Merry Christmas.